Jaron the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Fireball Hot Take Friday, which means the hottest take of the day will win a prize. Corey Curtis from News 2 in 15 minutes. Floyd, we have an update on Marcus Mariota. Would you like to hear it?
I can't wait.
This comes via TitansOnline.com's Jimmy Wyatt. So my guess is this is what the team wants you to know.
Jimmy, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, what Jim knows and what the team tells you are two totally different things, I would think. But this is what, I mean, you know, and Jim's a great guy. This is what the team wants people to know right now. And
I haven't seen it yet. You want me to tell you what it says?
Yes. Go for it.
It says, Marcus is still day-to-day. He did more today than he has at any other time, and we feel good, but, you know, we're not quite there yet.
You're very close. You want the quotes from Mike Mularkey?
Okay.
First off, according to Jim Wyatt, he was, guess his practice status today.
Limited.
Bing! Quote, "We'll have the injury report out Saturday for the game," Mularkey said. "He did a little bit more today than he did yesterday, and it was good to see him get more reps, and he's on track to do a little bit more tomorrow."
Good.
Mike then goes on to say, asked if he's on track to play, quote, "We're hopeful. We're definitely hopeful." So Mike is now hopeful that Marcus will play Monday night. Floyd, your thoughts?
I wonder why he's telling him Saturday.
Well, because it's a Monday night game.
Well, yeah, but why? I mean, he's going to make the decision on Saturday?
Well, here's what Mike then says. "It's going to come down to a lot of things." Did I say things? Things. "It's going to come down to a lot of things. We have a full-speed practice tomorrow, a walkthrough, and all that rest. It might be a game-time decision. Can he play and not risk himself further injury? That's the biggest thing." Well, let me stop here and say, anytime Marcus Mariota takes a snap, he's risking injury, because as we saw last year in the Jacksonville game, you're one play away from breaking your leg. So I'm not as concerned about that as everybody else is. But the one question I want to know, and you were dead on about the update to Marcus, and the truth is we're not going to know anything about Marcus until somebody says something about Marcus Monday, probably morning or afternoon, with Marcus is going to play or not play. So we're not going to know until Monday, I would guess. But who is making this decision? That's what I want to know. Once again, you know, Mike talked yesterday about being smart, and the headline in the Tennessean was the Titans are being smart. And this is what Mike said to lead to that headline, but I'm trying to figure out who is the one that's being smart. Play the clip.
I want to be very smart about how we do this. It's more than this game. It's a lot of games that we got to be concerned about.
So he's saying, I want to be very smart. So is Mike the one who's making the call as to when Marcus is ready to play or not ready to play?
No. It's the medical people and the trainers and whoever is all involved. I'm sure the coaches have some kind of input. The doctors will ask, you know, do you think he can go full speed? Is he able to cut? Can he plant? Can he backpedal? Can he, you know, get away from the center? Can he do all those kinds of things? But the doctors and the trainers will make the ultimate decision.
Doesn't it, though, at some point, don't they have to almost risk him to be injured again in order to see if he's actually healthy or not?
I mean, I don't know that you have to risk him. I mean, I know what you're saying. I mean, the truth is, he could go through all of the protocol that they put out in front of him and pass all that and get into the game, and the first time he pulls it down and he sprints down the field, he could pull it again. Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the problem with hamstrings, because they're going to want – I mean, you're not going to go out today after practice and say, Marcus, in order for us to say you can play, we need to see you sprint 100 yards. I mean, that's not going to happen. I mean, he won't make it, you know. So – What are you going to do? And that's why you know, even though you want to see all these things happen, you think they're going to happen, the truth is the first time that he really cuts it loose in a game will probably be the first time he's cut it loose since he got hurt.
So then the question that all the reporters keep asking Mike is, what does he need to show Mike in order for him to be able to play? And I guess the answer should be, or the question should be, what does he need to show the medical team? Because you're saying it's the medical team, and it's not Mike who's making the decision. Right. And Mike keeps giving, well, I need to see more. I need to see a little bit more, and then I'll feel comfortable about him being able to play on Monday. And so Mike doesn't really give you a definitive answer as to what he needs to see. So you're the GM. Put your GM hat on. What does Marcus have to show these guys by Monday in order to be able to play in the game?
Again, I don't know what he's doing now. I don't know what he has shown them. So I don't know. But this is what you need to see in this case. The hardest thing about a hammy is backing up, going backwards, backpedaling. And so if you are underneath the center and you can't get away from the center to get back to a seven-step drop, or you can't, you know, those kind of things become issues. You know, can he turn around and get the ball to the running back? Is it affecting his throwing motion? Can he step into the throw? All of those kinds of things. Now, as far as him, can he take off and sprint and go 100% for however far? You know, you're probably never going to see that. I mean, those kind of things usually don't happen.
So if you knew what he was doing up until this point, then you would be able to judge as to what he would have to show them next in order to be able to play. But because we don't know,
you brought up a great point.
Marcus may get under center, take the snap, and I know that we're not on a television simulcast, so you can't see this, but I've got my hands underneath the desk like I'm taking a snap. Marcus may go back when the snap comes, and he may pull up and say, hold up, I can go three steps but not seven steps.
Yeah.
And then Mike's got to say, look, you got to go seven steps in a drop if you're going to be able to play on Sunday.
Yeah, and Mike, and what will happen is the doctors will come to Mike and they will say, okay, he is ready to play. So Mike will say, well, yeah, but, you know, I'm watching him backpedal and he can't backpedal very well, or, you know, it's affecting the deep pass, or, you know, there's something wrong with it. And then they'll go through and decide, okay, you know, it's really fine. It's something he's going to have to do, everything should be fine. But if the doctors don't ever say, okay, he's ready, you know, go ahead and see what he can do, then that will never happen.
Steve up next on Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, guys? Great show.
Thank you.
Okay, my hot take is this right here. I don't think Marcus needs to play. Because if he gets out there and get hurt, we might as well fold up tent and take it to the house for the season.
Well, and that was in Mike's – I mean, I appreciate your call, Steve. That was in Mike's clip that we just played right there about it's not just about this game. It's
right.
About many games, and it's
– right.
But you can't lose to the stinky Dolphins and the stinky Colts.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can't – you don't want to risk. And this is what – and it's a legitimate argument. You're saying, okay, are you going to be willing to risk – a game or part of a game, if he gets hurt in the game, to not have him for 6 weeks? And you say, no, I'm not willing to do that. You know, let's forget this one, you know, bury this one, go on, and let's see if we can go ahead and win the next 6 weeks.
I just wonder if they look at that bye as a finish line. Like, okay, Marcus is at this point, but we know that if we can get past the Colts with Matt Cassel, you know you can beat the Browns with Matt Cassel. And so you say to yourself, well, if we can beat the Colts and beat the Browns with Matt Cassel, then the bye, Marcus would have 4 straight weeks to heal the hamstring, and you know coming out of that bye, he should be healthy. I wonder if that's part of the thought process too. Let's go to Matt, who's up next on Tennessee. Corey Curtis is going to join us in about 5 minutes. He'll have the latest takeaway with Marcus and what he's hearing as well. But Matt is up next on the Vols on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Matt?
Hey, thanks, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I just moved to the area about 2 weeks ago. Now I'm a regular listener.
Thank you, Matt.
Great.
I just want to say I am a diehard Florida fan living in Tennessee my entire life. It's been hell. I'm going to be honest with you. But in saying that, I've been watching, you know, UT off and on, and I will say Butch is running the program in the ground. It's pretty sad. Because the rivalry is dying, you know, excluding from last year, of course. But I will say his time's coming, and it's coming very soon.
Appreciate your call, Matt. I would not worry so much about the rivalry with Florida dying. I still think that rivalry is a little juicy, even though Florida's dominated. The rivalry with Bama, though, I mean, that used to be one of the great rivalries of college football.
That's dead. You know what, though? It is interesting to hear somebody that's not been privy to this, you know, 3 or 4 year process, except from the other side of the field, look at the state of the program and give you an analysis of the state of the program. I mean, that's because, I mean, there would be a lot of people in town that would be saying the same kinds of things, but it's a little bit more interesting to hear from somebody out of town.
Speaking of the Vols, be sure to check out the watch party at Beyond the Edge in East Nashville for the Vols watch party with Braden Gull. It's 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Beyond the Edge. That's 112 South 11th Street in East Nashville as the Vols take on South Carolina, and we'll see you there at Beyond the Edge. Corey Curtis, News 2, will join us next. We'll get the latest from what he's hearing inside the Titans locker room about Marcus and this big Monday night football game with the Colts. That's coming up next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM. Mike Mularkey tells Jim Wyatt, Titans Online, hopeful Marcus will play Monday night against the Colts. Floyd, where are you in on this? What's your gut telling you? Does Marcus play Monday night or no?
If I had to bet, mm-hmm. I would say he plays.
You think he plays?
Yeah.
I think he plays too, but I thought he played last week and he didn't play against the crummy Dolphins. And luckily, if he does play, you have to feel good about their chances against the stinky Colts. And Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us. And of course, News 2 final countdown, Titans final countdown tomorrow to get you ready for the game Monday. Corey, what do we know about Marcus's injury? What are we hearing?
Well, I know this. The game is on News 2, so he better suit up and play because we need the ratings, baby. Get him out there.
Now, you know there's a better chance of it being a closer game if Marcus doesn't play. So the ratings might be higher.
There's a chance of higher ratings with Marcus on the field.
Now, there may be something to that. So let's go into this.
Well,
go ahead.
What do we know? We know he hasn't sprinted yet, and he's got to be able to sprint before they're going to let him play. And I think that's the bottom line. Now, he's got 3 more days to do it. But he's got to show he can do it. And I'm like you guys, my gut, I feel like he's going to play, but I am taking the tack this week that he's out until I hear he's in.
How out was he last week against the Dolphins? Because didn't we all kind of feel this way at the same time last week?
Yes, and that's why he's out to me until he's in, because we all thought he might go. But, I mean, according to Mularkey after the game, is the decision was easy.
What's your take on Rishard Matthews and his whole situation?
Well, his situation is complicated because this is a perfect example of how someone who didn't want to necessarily get dragged into this has now been dragged into it, and the situation has been turned into something different. Rishard's brother killed in Afghanistan serving our country, mm-hmm. and I believe his father, his career military. He was never a guy who kneeled during the anthem, but when he got called an SOB by the president, he took offense to that. And I get that. Somebody called me that, I would take offense to it too. And so, you know, the cause and effect here is a little bit different. He's very prideful. That's obvious. I think he let his, you know, Herm Edwards had the great don't press send rant. And I think he could have used it in that moment, because the fact that he deleted it shows that he probably regretted putting that out there, because once you put it out there, you put it out there. So he did say, I'm sorry, Cal Baxter, our photographer, just came back from Titan, said he does regret putting that tweet out there. It's an emotional topic. And, you know, I told my boss when he first took over here a year ago, I said, look, I shouldn't talk to people when I'm emotional. And I think most people shouldn't talk to people when they're emotional. And talking includes social media. And that's what everybody has to understand. And Rishard Matthews is a good American. He's a good Titan. And I think he's a good person. And I think he just made a mistake.
What is your take on Coach Jones and the South Carolina game? Where does that go? Is that the ultimate game for him?
You know, okay, first off, I am not one who's all about firing coaches 5 games into the season, whether it be college or the pro. I think we've gotten way too far ahead of ourselves in both these leagues. I hear people calling for people to be fired
you know, for one after one loss or two losses, or you know, I heard one guy on some show this week, I don't know what remember which it was, calling for Mularkey to be fired because he didn't challenge the play at the end of the game. I think our terms for termination have grown a little too strong.
Why okay? are you chuckling? Why? I didn't say he should be fired.
I know he listens to our show.
Now, is Butch Jones...
I didn't say that. Robert DeCaller, who calls in every day and says that Mike should be fired, he might have said it. I didn't say. I don't think Mike coached a good game on Sunday. That doesn't mean that he should be fired. We all have bad games.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We all have bad games. We all have bad moments. We all have one thing or another, and that's why I always say you have to look at the complete product. And the product is so far from complete right now. Now, is it trending in a horrible direction for Butch Jones? Yeah, it is. And I think going to Jarrett Garantano kind of looks like a Hail Mary to me because we haven't seen anything from Garantano that says he's ready. And even if he gets through South Carolina, who Butch has struggled with their defense in the past, what are you subjecting that kid to next week? Mm-hmm. Is he going to be ready for Alabama? I think there's just no way in the world. We're going to find out what this team thinks of Butch Jones and his leadership and what they think of each other on Saturday. They don't have to win, to me, but they have to play with pride, and they have to play with effort, and they have to play like they believe in each other. And that is not something that I've seen a lot of this year.
Corey Curtis, News 2 is our guest. Before you get mad at me, can't I make the argument that we saw what the team thinks of Butch in the Georgia game?
You absolutely could argue that. But again, it's one game. It's one game. And, you know, what if he beats South Carolina and then comes back and loses to Alabama by one and then wins the rest of them and goes 9-3? What if he goes 9-3? What if he's better than last year? Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but the product is incomplete. And I think when you look at the complete product, you're going to be able to make a good decision one way or another.
But yeah, I'm already at my decision.
Halfway through is dangerous.
I'm already at my decision with Butch Jones, but I guess you probably already knew that. Corey Curtis, News 2, our guest right here on the show. Fireball hot take of the weekend for you, Corey.
You know what? I'm like you, Jarrett. When I was little Corey Curtis, I buried my nose in the newspaper reading the Agate pages. You know, I went over all the stats and all the standings, and I love stats, but I'm just going to tell you guys, stats can be misconstrued, and stats can be used to lead misleading arguments. I'm not here to bury other sports media, but when I see a headline that says the Titans are 10-1 when Derrick Henry carries the ball seven times or more and 1-8 when he doesn't, that is an extremely misleading headline.
Who wrote that?
Because the first a local beat writer. You would have to ask yourself, when is Derrick Henry carrying the ball more than seven times? When the Titans are winning, because he's the hammer who's hitting the nails in the fourth quarter. So, you know, the Titans eat more calories when they go to the bakery and the donuts are fresh, all right? And Derrick Henry gets more carries when the Titans are up by 14 points. That doesn't mean he's not going to be a great player, isn't a good player. It's just an irrelevant statistic.
I do want you to know, in the office today, Floyd and I were talking about how they need to, in this game against the Colts, have a number of carries that DeMarco specifically, but the two running backs need to have. Because they didn't run the ball enough against Miami.
They had 20 carries last week. They've got a top 30. And they both need to be involved. There's no question about it. But they've got to run the football. People can talk about Matt Castle all they want. If they run the football effectively, they will win on Monday Night Football, no matter who the quarterback is. Well, and they would have won in Miami had they run the football effectively.
Well, I said on Monday, if you had a list of the people who I was upset with the most over the game over the Titans losing to the Dolphins, Matt Castle's like 11th on the list. I mean, the offensive line, this is supposed to be one of the best offensive lines in the league. Where are they? The running game, where is that?
I asked Coach after the game, were you looking for your offensive line to take ownership in this game? And he said, absolutely, because it's hard to say that they did. Now, teams are stacking the box against them. And so you've got to come up with some plays. But they stacked the box against Chris Johnson, too, and he went for 2,000 yards.
Right.
Yeah, at some point you have to be able to deliver, even though they know it's coming. Corey Curtis,
and look,
news
the offensive line knows it too. You're right. No, this is going to be fun. I appreciate the time.
No, hold on. First off, I was shocked that you didn't have your hot take on the Cubs. Congratulations to your Chicago Cubs on making
it. It's not hot when you're there for the third year in a row.
Ooh.
Well done.
Wow. It was like he was prepared for me to go at him for his lack of Cubs hot take. I am almost shocked. And secondly, what's the deal with the coaches show? My favorite show every week, the Titans on 2 with Mike Mularkey. What's the deal with that this week since there's a Monday night football game? So give me the rundown on how News 2 will work.
You know what? It's an excellent question, Jared. This is among your smartest line of questioning of all time.
Tell your bosses I said you're welcome.
We're on from 6:30 to 7 as normal. But obviously the coach can't join us, so we'll have a pre-recorded interview with the coach that'll air during the show, and we will preview the game from 6:30 to 7. It's looking like we may have Eddie George joining us, but we'll have tons of sound from the Titans locker room as we get looking at the matchup, and we'll be talking Titans for 45 minutes leading up to kickoff.
I would offer up Floyd to go down there and be on the set too, but right. He's got his own show here on the station, so I don't think that would work out. But
say hi to Eddie.
You guys
for
pay
us.
Better than I do. Yeah.
There may be something to that. Probably not though. Corey Curtis, News 2. I'm just kidding. Corey Curtis, News 2, joining us here on the show as always. Corey, we will see you on Monday.
Thanks, man.
See you, Corey.
Yep, Corey Curtis, News 2, joining us here on the show. You know what? I think that's a load of garbage. I think the coach should have to still do the coach's show, even though there's a game.
You do? Ya.
Why not?
There's a game.
So? He's contracted to do the coach's show, is he not?
Yeah.
Do the show.
I assume he is.
Do the show.
Oh.
You know, we all have those things in life where we have to plan ahead.
I wouldn't do it.
So Mike should give his pregame speech 2 hours before the game so that then he can go do the coach's show
and then
just go walk over to the sidelines when it's time to start coaching.
Yeah.
You know, Robert in Nashville, who calls in every day to complain about Mike, he probably thinks that Mike should do the coach's show too.
There could be some truth there now.
He loves it. Okay, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, Floyd and Corey talked about it a little bit about the Rishard Matthews situation. I have a really strong take on Rishard Matthews. I want to get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. Before the Rishard Matthews discussion, I guess I have to clear something up. Last segment, when we talked about Mike Mularkey not doing Titans on 2 with Mike Mularkey because he has to coach the game, I was kidding when I said he should do the coach's show over coach the game.
We all heard it. We know you were serious. We even asked you if you were kidding, and you said, no, he's contracted. He should. I mean, we've got evidence.
I was kidding.
We've got
I got all these people on Twitter that are like, oh, you dummy, you think he should do that over do the game? No, I don't. I was kidding. I was trying to be cute, and I guess that didn't work out well.
At least we know somebody's listening to the show.
You know, there is something to that. Although, I mean, we've had calls about everything today. We've had, like, loaded lines of 90% of the show.
Yeah.
Before we do get to those loaded lines, I do want to talk about the Rishard Matthews story. And this, of course, was yesterday that Rishard Matthews would be done with football if the NFL changed the policy to force players to stand for the anthem. Rishard Matthews on Twitter said he would be done with football. And I guess Rishard Matthews has backtracked today and said following practice, quote, in regards to the tweet I sent out, I'm a man. Sometimes you make a bad decision at the wrong time. At the time, I made a bad decision to tweet that out at that given moment. Here's my thing on Matthews, and I want to get to this take before I get to anything else about should he stand or not stand or whatever. We all have our own takes on this anthem situation, right? Like, some people are very offended that people would kneel for the anthem. Some people are very offended that you're not with them against racial injustice or whatever people are kneeling for now, because it changes every day with what they're actually kneeling for. But my one thing is, I'm not really going to tell anybody how to think, but I'm definitely not going to tell Rishard Matthews how to be an American or call Rishard Matthews not American or unpatriotic or anything, because he's lost four more than I have in defense of this country. I mean, you're talking about a guy who lost his brother fighting in the military in Afghanistan.
Recently.
For this country.
Yes.
Whose dad is a career, you know, military guy.
Right.
So who the hell am I to say what Rishard Matthews is or is not in terms of an American citizen? There's nothing I can say about Rishard Matthews one way or the other that would sit here. You can't say, well, you know, he's a bad American because dude's lost family fighting for this country. So I'm not going to sit here and judge the tweet or judge the things he says and sit there and say that he's unpatriotic.
Oh, I mean, he's anything but that. And I think therein may lie part of the issue. And I'm like you. I mean, I know this is all emotional. This impacts him differently than it impacts a lot of other people. And I think because of that, and I don't know where his stance is, and I don't know what it sounds like. He wants to back up a little bit from that, you know, I don't want to play football, you know, statement. And I don't blame him. I think he's exactly right. And I think we all need to look at him and say, hey, you know, this is different for him than it is for all the rest of us that are just on the sidelines. And that, you know, whenever he gets this straight in his head and he finally comes out about it, he, whatever it is he wants to do, and I don't know what that is, but I think we ought to support whatever it is he thinks he needs to do. And if there was anything that I would advise him on, if there was such a thing, if he was sitting in my office and I was a GM, I think I would, I kind of like the old don't press send, you know, go home, you know, take 2 or 3 hours, take a shower, you know, think about it. And if you feel the same, fine, you know, go for it. Do what you got
to
do.
And he even went on and said, and this is according to Cameron Wolf at ESPN.com, sometimes people, as you all know, tweet some ignorant things out at some moments, and that was an ignorant thing I tweeted out at that given moment. I take full responsibility, and that's why it went down right after, but somebody caught me with a screenshot. It's unfortunate that I brought this distraction, but it is what it is. I'm a man. I take full responsibility. Sometimes you get free time, and I was on my Twitter at that time, and that's what happened. I'm cool with Rishard Matthews saying, hey, I screwed up, my bad.
Sure.
Because we all screw up with a lot of things and say our bad.
Sure.
So on and so forth. I mean, I see, and here's the other thing I don't like. Rishard Matthews is very unique across all players in the NFL in the regards to his family and how he, like I said, Rishard Matthews could do whatever he wants to the flag, on the flag, around the flag, and I'm not going to call him a bad American because he lost his brother 2 years ago fighting in Afghanistan. His dad has been in the military for 23 years. He's a military guy. It's like Corey Curtis just said on the show. He said he's a good American, he's a good Titan, and he thinks he's a good guy. And I think all those things line up. But Rishard kind of got involved on this when he went on NFL Live, and he was talking about why he was taking a knee. And I think a lot of people look to Rishard Matthews because of that military family to kind of want him to be a spokesperson for this or want him to be at the forefront. And this is what he said on NFL Live.
I plan to kneel until the president apologizes for the comments that he made, because I felt like there was a very disrespectful comments that he made. You know, the league is made up of, I think, over 70% African-Americans. So the people that would be kneeling for this cause would be African-Americans. So, and you know, to keep it honest, you know, he was calling a lot of us, and I feel that he was calling myself a SOB, and that's, you know, not okay, very disrespectful. So, you know, I plan to kneel until the president apologizes.
Well, you and I have talked about that clip from NFL Live for a while and said that the president's not going to apologize.
No.
But it's almost like he kind of backed himself in a corner when he says something like that. And that's why I'm not mad at Rishard Matthews, but why are the Titans putting him on NFL Live to have those type of discussions? Now, he may have gone to the Titans and said, I want to do this, but I don't think, you know, we talked about Cam Newton and Richard Sherman the other day. I'm not sure if we talked about it on the air or off the air, But when Richard Sherman holds a press conference every week, he turns that into like a talk show.
Right.
That doesn't seem to be Rishard Matthews' MO.
No. I mean, when you think about it, Rishard's been here for, what, a year and a half, 2 years? And, I mean, you can probably count on one hand the number of times you've seen him talk as long as he just talked on that clip. So, I mean, he's not a, you know, hey, look at me, I want to hold a press conference, you know, come and listen to what I have to say, because what I have to say is really, really important. And it may have been a bad idea to get him on that show that particular day. Mm-hmm. You know, there might have been other days that would have been better. But once again, I mean, I don't, you know, if he were to turn around and say, hey, you know what, I've decided I'm going to, you know, forget what the president said and, you know, go about my work. I mean, it wouldn't bother me in the slightest.
Well, where I sit, one way or the other, this sounds callous. I don't care. You know, I mean, I want Rishard Matthews on third down and 9 to catch the ball for 17 yards.
Yeah, and you want him to do what's best for him and his family. And I don't, to be honest, I would respect whatever it is he decides to do for the reasons that he's laid out.
And like I said, you know, because a lot of people will look at, you know, take Kaepernick or somebody else, you know, and say they're disrespecting the flag, they're disrespecting the anthem, they're disrespecting the country. Once again, I don't think you could say those things about Rishard Matthews,
no.
Regardless of what he does
or
doesn't do.
I agree.
I don't think you can say that about him because of his family and that history. So that's kind of my take on Matthews. We'll take your calls in on this, 615-737-1025, or any other Titans thoughts you have, 615-737-1025 here on Jared and the GM. Do not forget to make your silly underdog picks. Brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Pick 3 college underdog teams you think will win before the weekend's college football games begin. To sign up and make your picks, visit thegamenashville.com today. Jared the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, it's interesting because you do have a vast military background in your family, and your family has paid the ultimate price, losing a brother in Afghanistan in 2015. And you went to great lengths in a recent article in the Tennessean to explain to people that what the players are doing has nothing to do with disrespecting the flag of the military. Why do you think people have a hard time separating those two?
You know, that's a good question. And, you know, I challenge a lot of people that have that issue to look in the mirror and ask themselves why they feel that way. Because I'm a military guy. My dad served 23 years. My brother passed away for this flag. And, you know, I'm all for the military. You know, that's military runs through my blood. But at the same time, I understand that this nation is not where we need to be when it comes to equality and, like I said, oppression and police brutality. You know, there's things going on, and you know, I've said it to people before that it's simple. It's simple. It's between right and wrong.
Rishard Matthews on NFL Live a couple of weeks ago. I mean, look, I think everybody has their own takes on the anthem situation and what people are doing and what people are not doing. I stand by my initial claim with Matthews, and then we'll go right to the phones. But I stand by my initial take on Matthews, and that is I'm not in a position to be able to judge whether or not Rishard Matthews is a good American or a bad American, considering – well, I shouldn't even say that. I'm not in position to judge him as a bad American or unpatriotic because he won't stand for the flag when he lost a brother in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's the reason he's doing it. Again, I think –
He came right out
and said, you know, I mean, the president, 70% of the league is African American, and so in essence, the president called, you know, African Americans, SOB, and he said, I'm going to kneel because of that until he apologizes. Now, that could take a while. but if that's how strongly he feels, then, you know, more power to him.
And a lot of people were fired up yesterday about the tweet he sent out, the one saying that he would give up football if they made him stand for the flag. But he said he was wrong and that he was sorry, and I'm cool to say, all right, move, you know, no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
You deleted the tweet. You said you were wrong. You apologized for it. And I think a lot of guys that are distractions on their teams in the league, like Cam Newton is a walking distraction for his football team.
Right.
I think Cam's okay with that, though. Like Cam, Richard Sherman, those guys are cool with being distractions.
Yeah, because it's about them.
I don't think Matthews is cool with being a distraction to his team.
I don't think he is either.
And that's why he apologized and said for being a distraction. Let's go right to the phones on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Tom is up next on Rishard Matthews. What's up, Tom?
Hello?
Tom, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing? Hey, I'm just going to refer to what you was talking about, Rashard Matthews.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, hey, listen, my take on it is I don't have a problem with him kneeling. I mean, I do have a problem with him. I don't have a problem with the protesting. It's just they could do it another way. I'm a veteran. My son's a veteran. My wife's a veteran. My whole family is military, and we take it different. And
so is his family, though. His whole family's military, too.
Oh, I understand that. And I've lost loved ones, and I've fought for this country. And when you put the uniform on, it just means – then there's people in the military that disrespects the flag also. So what I'm getting at is I hate for the guy – you know, I hated the guy lost his brother. But still, the flag means something. It allows us to do everything we're doing. It allows you to get on the radio and have freedom of speech.
I don't disagree with that, but he also said that this isn't about the flag or the military or the anthem.
I totally agree, but I just feel like that people can protest, but the flag and the national anthem and God Bless America means you ought to hold it for a value. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, and there's a lot
and
of people
I would
that
agree.
Share, and I appreciate your call. There's a lot of people that share that exact same belief.
Absolutely.
But like I said, I share that belief. But I'm not going to tell Rashard Matthews what to do in terms of being a good American.
Well, no. And again, I mean, in my mind, Rashard Matthews just told exactly. Now, this is part of the problem we have with listening in our society. But he's doing it because the president called him an SOB. That's just the bottom line to me.
You know, I thought about this the other day. And I'm not trying to be political on the show. And, you know, because and this is how I try to, like, explain things like this. Because a lot of people, I think, have, like, agendas, right? Like, they have a political agenda, and so they'll go with their political agenda, and so they'll say, you know, you should stand up for Jemele Hill. I think Jemele Hill was wrong this week. I think Mike Pence was wrong this week. Those are two people on opposite ends of the spectrum, correct?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, so so this is not a political thing, because I think they were both wrong. But can we just ask the president and the vice president, just leave the NFL alone? Seriously. Like, just leave. Like, hey, everybody, just stand for the anthem. And politicians, please leave the sport alone.
Well, I keep hoping here in the next few days this whole thing will get resolved one way or another simply because
then they'll send the Secretary of State out to a game and he'll have to leave too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the resolution will be, but it'll be really interesting.
Like, I can't. Once again, this is not a political thing. I thought Jemele Hill. I mean, I thought Jemele Hill was wrong. I thought Mike Pence was wrong. There's no political agenda behind me saying one thing or that. But like, can we keep it out of the NFL? Let's go to James, who's up next here on the show. What's wrong with him? Oh no, that's right. Go ahead, James.
What's going on?
Hey.
I think, you know, anybody in the NFL who didn't kneel last year really shouldn't be kneeling this year. This had a meaning initially, and now it's just about name calling. Kneeling because somebody calls you an SOB. And they got baited in by Donald Trump, who's got his own issues, and it just shouldn't have happened. But here's my second point. People who call NFL players disrespectful for kneeling. I wonder, do they say that to people driving around with Confederate flags bigger than the car hanging out the back of the truck?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I want to go back to your first point.
First point was a good one.
Because the second point was going to get way too controversial.
Yeah, out there. But
I don't.
The first point was a good point. And I think he's probably exactly right.
We've lost the whole meaning as to why people are doing these protests and why, you know.
It started off. We know how it started off. And since then, it has hit every gamut across the spectrum. I mean, everybody that has a gripe about something, it wants their, why are you kneeling? Well, I'm mad about the SEALs or I'm mad about the something else. I mean, it's and that's why these things lose meaning. Is everybody sees what's going on and sees that there's a little bit of reaction to it. So they want theirs in there. Well, let's do it for this reason and let's do it for another reason. I mean, I thought Kaepernick was very pointed when he came out and discussed why he was doing it. And that was it. Well, since then, it's transformed to everything.
Yeah, so, and now you've got, you know.
Meaningless.
Well, once again, it's like, I go back to this. I think it's all, truthfully, I think all of it's wrong. All of it is wrong. Now, I'm pro-protesting, but I'm not pro, hey, it's First Amendment right, not at work. If I came on the air and I said something just off the wall, stupid, I'd get fired. I wouldn't go to jail. That's freedom of speech. But I think everything about this is wrong. You know, Jemele Hill saying boycott Jerry Jones advertisers because Jerry Jones told his employees to do something he wants them to do and he pays them. You know, that's wrong in my mind. Or the vice president of the United States going to the game to use the game and use Peyton Manning's day to basically stage a political PR stunt. I got a problem with that too. So I want to get back to playing ball. and I am all about listening and hearing on social issues and things like that, but not to where, I mean, we can talk about any situation with this involving the Titans, and the calls are all the same every day. Have you noticed that? Yeah, hey, are we talking about Matthews? Well, not about Matthews. Like the one guy, you know, hey, I fought for the military. My family fought for the military. So did Matthews. Matthews' family fought for the military. He lost his brother. But it goes back to your point that when something is a political issue, the two sides of the issue all have their talking points, and they stick to their talking points every time.
And it doesn't matter what the question is. It doesn't matter what was said. It's, this is what I think, and I want to get it out there. And that's, you know, again, that's part of the freedom of speech.
Jenny is up next here on the show. What's up, Jenny?
Hello.
Jenny, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good. I've been on this line 2 or 3 days, but that's besides the point.
That's okay.
I just have two statements I need to make. The Titans, to me, are not the good. I don't understand what I'm trying to say, but they don't have any gut. They play and stand over like zombies. I don't understand. Now, I come up in the Steve McNair, the Chris and Eddie George and all that area. Them was some fighting men. I follow them all the way to the airport and everywhere. These guys don't do nothing. They don't talk on the sideline. They're just standing there. I have a 14-year-old grandson that plays in junior high. Them boys just go for it, but they don't do anything. I just don't understand it. That's my first question. My other one is just what you were talking about, the military. And if they go back 1 year to why that guy kneeled on his knees, it didn't have anything to do with the flag or anything else. I had people that died in World War II, in Vietnam, and everything, and I still worship all that about the military and so forth. And it's just something wrong. I don't know what's wrong with the world. And for the president, the head of the country, to call somebody an SOB, he should be the one that's apologizing.
Jenny, I appreciate your call. I'm going to put you on hold here for a second. I do appreciate that call, and I thought it was very well said. And I thought the first point was a great point about the Titans and how they've looked the last couple of weeks compared to the how we're used to seeing
weeks.
The Titans.
Yeah.
How we're used to seeing the Titans look. And then the second part, yeah, I mean, what you're getting is you're getting a lot of people yelling at each other and nobody listening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing that I think Floyd and I have kind of hit on from the jump about all this is, I mean, we could take calls about this all day. It's all the calls are going
to
be the same.
Well, it's so interesting, again, and to reiterate what we said before, but how people will call and you'll be asking about the initial question, the initial issue that Kaepernick started this thing with, you know, social and racial injustice. That's where it starts. As soon as that's, and you say, okay, that's all we're going to focus on today. The next 10 calls will be about kneeling for the flag and about disrespecting the flag and about disrespecting the anthem. And I understand why they're saying it. I understand why they're doing it. But I think that's where we are. You know, nobody listens. Nobody, you're always talking over somebody or around somebody or behind somebody or whatever the case. And there's really no communication going on.
But it's like our guy who fought in the military. He's like, hey, I'm military. And it's like, so Matthew's family
was. We just
was,
said, yeah, his dad.
That's
was
the whole point. Okay, so we will take some calls. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, is it fair for Titans fans? Because I see this coming on Monday night. and I know how Titan fans are going to feel. But is it fair for them to feel a certain way? We'll get to that. Coming up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, it's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.